Brilliant. Thank you so much. Thanks, Becky. Hi, everyone. Good to see you all. Thank you for being here this morning. And I'm going to talk for a little while just about a Christmas tradition, really. Christmas traditions. Christmas is full of traditions, familiar things year on year that help to make Christmas special. And the thing about Christmas traditions are that they help generations come together, they help create memories, they help make things fun. And some Christmas traditions are very personal to families. So for us, every year we have a photo on Christmas Eve on the stairs. This is something I did with my family when I was a small child, a toddler. And every year we've got the photos going up of me and my brothers as they got added on. And I've kind of carried that on with my family. So there's personal traditions for our own families. But also there are things that are more worldwide, aren't there? There are things that are more significant around the world. And some are just a bit of fun, but some have more meaning to them. And so some of the traditions of Christmas come right out of the Bible, don't they? Right out of the nativity story. And of course, it's one of those that I want to speak about this morning. Today, I want to look at the shepherds at Christmas. Now, how many of us have ever dressed up as a shepherd? This is a bit of a tradition, something that people do at Christmas. How many of us have ever dressed up as a shepherd at Christmas or sent their child or grandchild into school with a tea towel or a towel to go over their head to dress up as a shepherd? Okay? Now, this is something we do at Christmas, isn't it? It reminds us of the nativity story. And one of my all-time favorite family photos that we have is this one here. It's coming up on the screen. Can you see this? Can you see that? Look at that. That was one of our Christmas services is here many years ago with three great-looking shepherds there and a couple of angels that are all a bit older now and probably a little bit embarrassed in the room. But that's one of my favourite family photos of us all together dressed up as shepherds and angels as well. And the dressing up as shepherds is something we just do at Christmas. Wave at me if you've ever dressed up as a shepherd at another time of year. Anybody? No one else in the room. We've got one person at the back. So, you know, Tony likes to dress as a shepherd when he goes to a fancy dress party, occasionally maybe, but mostly we do this at Christmas. And so I want to really just talk about why are the shepherds important at Christmas? What do they reveal to us? Why do we dress up as shepherds? Why is that part of the Christmas story? And I wonder, some of you here will like literature, I'm sure. Anyone read A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens? Some of you will have studied this in your GCSEs and A-levels. And Dickens introduces us to the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future. Okay, today I want to take his idea and I want to introduce us to the shepherds of Christmas past, present, and future. So that's what I've called this morning, the shepherds of Christmas past, present, and future. And for this to work, we need to imagine ourselves on that first Christmas night. That's where we're positioning ourselves on the dateline, our calendar, if you like, that first Christmas night. So, the shepherds of Christmas present. I'm going to start there. I'm going to do it slightly out of order. And we read about the shepherds of Christmas present on that first Christmas night. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 says this: "There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord.'" Now, shepherds were very ordinary people. They were working hard to make a living and to provide for themselves and for families if they had them. They were very normal. They were without influence. If you wanted to know an important opinion, you didn't go and ask a shepherd. They were kind of ignored. They were living in the fields, it tells us. You know, they were living out on the outskirts of the town. They were working long, unsociable hours through the night. They were unseen, I imagine, undervalued and underpaid, even though what they did was very important. Their lives would have been in the background. Their lives, they just had to get on with it. I wonder, is there anyone here who feels a bit like a shepherd? working long hours, feeling undervalued, feeling like you're just on the fringes of things, and that maybe, you know, what you bring, what you offer is undervalued and not seen as so important. And that's the point. You see, the shepherds of Christmas present on that first Christmas night reveal that Christmas is for everyone. It's not just for the wealthy, for the influential, for the best educated, for those that come from royalty. Imagine if the Christmas story had just involved the three kings, King Herod, and the successful innkeeper that had a business that was sold out and had no room in the inn. Okay, we might then think it's just for people who are successful. It's just for people who are kings. It's just for people that have influence. No, the shepherds tell us that Christmas is for all. And on that amazing night, something glorious was happening that involved the shepherds. One of the jobs of the shepherds was to keep watch. And what did they see? Well, mostly not a lot. Mostly they saw sheep. Mostly they saw hills. Mostly they saw days and nights come and go, seasons come and go. Maybe they saw the occasional wolf and they'd have a story to tell about fighting a wolf off or something like that. But on this night, they saw something incredible, unexpected and glorious. Something that would be written down and recorded forever. They saw an angel come to them and reveal the glory of God. This was an amazing night for these shepherds that represent everyone. Everyone is invited in to Christmas. And so there were two parts, I think, to what the angel came to reveal to the shepherds. There was at least two parts, but it's two parts that I want to focus in on. The first was this. The first was a warning for all people. Because in verse 11, it says, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. A Savior has been born to you. The angel was speaking to the shepherds, but I think the angel was speaking to everyone. A Savior has been born to you, to me, to everyone. The Savior was born for all. But that begs a question. Why do we need a Savior? Why does everyone need a Savior? Why do you need a Savior? Why do I need a Savior? And the fact is that your life and my life is a gift from God. He made you. He loves you. But we have each chosen to live our own lives in rebellion and in rejection of God. We have chosen to live with ourselves at the center of our lives, and we have chosen not to live with God at the center of our lives. We pursue our own desires and our own ambitions rather than pursuing God first. And we see this self-centeredness at Christmas probably more than any other time of year, don't we? We judge whether we've had a good Christmas on whether we got the present that we wanted, whether we saw the people that we wanted to see and how those times went, whether the food was to our taste. Was the Christmas dinner, was the turkey juicy enough? Was it too dry? Was it just the way that we like it? Okay, and we start to judge Christmas by what it meant for us. And that's just a little example of how we all live self-centered lives. And the consequence of this is that there is a breakdown in relationship between us and God. Because we've chosen to make ourselves the center of our own lives and not put God at the center of our lives, there's become this separation and there's become this distance between us and God. And there's become this need for a Savior to restore that relationship and to bring us back to a place where we are back in relationship in the way that God always intended. And ultimately, it means that when we die, we continue to be separated from God. We continue to be living without God. And you don't want to be in a place where God does not exist, because God is the God who brings good and peace and healing and joy. And without God, we don't get any of those things. We get suffering, we get sickness, we get sin. And so there's a warning for all. There is a warning for all that the angels came to bring to the shepherds. But then there is also joy, great joy for all. Did you see that in their message? The angel said to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." That is the message of Christmas. There is great joy for all people. We all need a Savior, and Christmas is the time when the Savior was revealed for all.
a Savior has been born to you, they said, the angel said to the shepherds. A Savior has been born to you, I am saying to you this morning. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. You are invited into this. You are part of this. Your Savior has come. You are invited into Christmas. You are invited into life with the Savior. And I don't know what they thought the Messiah was going to look like. Maybe a king, maybe an influential politician, maybe a warrior. But this is what the angel says. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, in cloths, and lying in a manger. See, the Savior came in this unexpected package of a baby lying in a manger. And then just as this one angel declares this about this baby who would come as a Savior, suddenly a great company, it tells us in verse 13, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." As if to emphasize this good news, this great news of joy for all people, of a Savior who had come, the whole of heaven's glory comes out, or a much bigger part of heaven's glory comes out on display to emphasize this good news and to show that heaven is celebrating. The places, the mountains, the hills are filled with joy and the praise of God as the glory of heaven is declared and peace on earth is spoken over the shepherds that represent you and I. So the shepherds of Christmas present point us to see that Christmas is for all people, that there is joy for everyone, that there is a Savior who is born for all, the baby in a manger. Christmas is about God's glory being revealed. It's about peace on earth on offer to anyone who will receive God's favor. I want to say, wow, give me a towel, give me a tea towel. I'm happy to dress up as a shepherd if that is what being a shepherd is all about. And so those were the shepherds of Christmas present. But also in this passage, we see something of the shepherd of Christmas past. It says in verse 11, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. And have you ever wondered, why don't the angels just call the town Bethlehem? They say it's the town of David. Why mention David at all? Well, it's because it is pointing back to for the Jewish people, pointing back to a great king, King David, and a time that was glorious for their nation, a time where it was a golden age for their people. We like to remember the good old days, don't we? I want to show you a photo that is probably going to hurt some people as I show it, so I just give you a warning now. Can we show the picture, please, Jonathan? Bobby Moore with the World Cup, England, 1966. We look back to that glorious age, and today was supposed to be the day where 56 years of hurt came to an end, and Harry Kane lifted the World Cup above his head, and we celebrated with our nation. We have won the World Cup. The golden age has returned. That's what it was supposed to be today, but it hasn't happened. And so we look back, and some of us, me included, are too young to remember 1966. It's a day in the distant past. I didn't get to experience it. And so I've become a bit cynical. And so I've forgotten that it's even important. And it was a bit like this for the people, the Jewish people, the people of Israel. They were being pointed back to the time of King David, which for them was a glorious era, where God demonstrated that he wanted to live amongst his people. He had always wanted to live amongst his people. He had always wanted to bring victory to them. He had always wanted to bring sort of peace and prosperity and a time of joy to them as a nation. And so it's the shepherd of Christmas past points back to them and reveals that God has always had a plan to be with his people, to dwell amongst his people, to live in a time of joy and a time where things are good. But it's because of our own selfish living, that we don't experience that. We live in a broken world. We live in a time where we see sin and suffering and pain and 56 years of hurt because of our broken hearts and because of our broken lives. And the great thing about being pointed back to the town of David and the time of David is that also there were promises that were wrapped up in David and in those that would come after David, because there were many promises about David, who, by the way, was also a shepherd. I didn't explain that. So if you didn't know, David, when we first meet him, was not a king, but was a shepherd boy out in the fields. And so that's why he is a shepherd of Christmas past. He was out in the fields tending the sheep. And yet there were these promises that were to come of a king whose reign would be far more glorious and who would last forever. We've heard about them this morning. Becky read from Isaiah chapter 9. We've sung about the promises of David and the one who would have a reign that would go on forever, the one on David's throne who would be called Wonderful God, Mighty God, Wonderful, I've forgotten the one, Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, all of those things. But we also see, if we read the Christmas story, Matthew chapter 2, verse 6 says this, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." There was going to be another king, another shepherd king, who would come in the line of David to shepherd his God's people. And we read that this was written hundreds of years before Jesus. This is referring back to some writings by in the book of Micah, we can read in the Old Testament, where it says this: "He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace." You see, the shepherds and dressing up as shepherds at Christmas is really significant, all that this holds, all that this reveals. What was happening that first Christmas in Bethlehem, in the town of David, was part of God's amazing plan that was being worked out, of a Savior who was being born, the baby in the manger, who was the promised shepherd king, who would shepherd his people, who would bring peace and security and provision, and his greatness would reach the ends of the earth. Are you excited about the good news of Christmas, which brings great joy to all people? We sang this morning, forever God is faithful, forever God is strong, forever God is with us. Christmas is all about God stepping towards us to be with us forever. Okay, let's move on to the shepherd of Christmas future. Where is the shepherd of Christmas future in this story, I hear you ask? Well, let me read to you Luke chapter 2, verse 15. "When the angels had left them," that's the shepherds, "and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them." So the shepherds, they hurry away from the fields. They hurry into Bethlehem and they find Mary and Joseph and this baby in the manger, just as the angels said it would be. And the shepherd that you might not immediately notice in this story, the shepherd of Christmas future, to understand who that is, you need to jump forward another 30 or so years to see who this baby becomes, the man that this baby becomes. And we can listen to his words, because the words of Jesus are written down in the Bible for us. And we can see in John chapter 10 that Jesus, the baby who had grown to be a man, said this: "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Again, pointing to the kind of life that King David represented with God's people. And Jesus goes on to say, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." He says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. And I lay down my life for the sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will ever snatch them out of my hands. You see, the baby, Jesus, came as the good shepherd. He came to provide and to lead and to protect his sheep, his people, those that were part of his flock. And you know, the way that he came to do that, he tells us, is he came to lay down his life. And just as this baby points us forward to the man who said he was the good shepherd, the story of Christmas, we must not forget, points us forward to the story of Easter, where Jesus went to the cross and laid down his life for us and then rose again victoriously. We can read about this in Hebrews chapter 12. It says this: "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." See, when Jesus, the good shepherd, went to the cross, it was a message of joy for all people. That's why it says Jesus was able to go to the cross for the joy that was set before him, because he could see this good news of great joy for all people. He had his eyes fixed on it as he went to the cross. And he knew that people needed salvation. People needed saving. That's why the Savior that had come as a baby was doing the act that caused salvation when he went to the cross. And it tells us here that after he rose again victorious, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, the good shepherd is the one who had come in all the promises of David to sit on the throne forever and ever and ever, an everlasting kingdom. He's the one who came to bring life in all its fullness. I mean, this is amazing. There is so much in the tradition of dressing up as a shepherd. Next time you dress up as a shepherd with a tea towel on your head or a towel on your head, think about these things. Next time you send a child into school to be part of a nativity as a shepherd, think about these things. Even go home today and just do it. Just go on. Put a towel on your head, look in the mirror and think, Jesus, you are amazing. So what? So what? What do we need to do with all of this? Very simply, I just want to encourage us in a few things. Firstly, I want to encourage us this Christmas to look for Jesus, just as it said in that Hebrews verse, to fix our eyes on him. Let's look for Jesus and let's listen to Jesus, just like the sheep who hear his voice and follow him. Let's look for Jesus and listen to Jesus this Christmas. How do we do that? Well, you could do that in a few ways. You might want to go and read the Christmas story for yourself and just allow God to speak to you through the words of the Bible. Luke is a really good gospel to go and do that in. You can do it in Matthew as well. But Luke, I find, it's got lots of detail in there. You can read the story. You can really grasp what happened for yourself. But I also want to encourage you, you might want to read the Easter story as well. You might want to jump forward and look at what happened at Easter and remind yourself that Jesus on the cross was the baby in the manger. And Jesus risen again out of the tomb was the baby in the manger. Allow Jesus to speak to you as you put your eyes on him and as you open your ears to him. Another thing you might want to do is just ask Jesus to help you to see and hear him this Christmas. We know, don't we, there are many distractions. There are many things that are going to get in the way of us seeing and hearing Jesus this Christmas. So ask him for his help. Whether you believe him to be true or not, you might want to, if you're not sure, you might want to say something like this: Jesus, if you were real, then would you help me to hear you and see you this Christmas? Because he loves to respond to people who say things like that. And so that would be a great thing to do. Keep your eyes and your ears open for Jesus as you go through the next couple of weeks. And also, I want to encourage you to follow Jesus. You see, it's not just about seeing Jesus, but it's about coming after him as well. Following Jesus involves things like belief and trust and getting close to him, intimacy with Jesus. Will you commit to walk closely, to live closely to Jesus this Christmas and into next year? Will you trust him? Will you believe in who he says he is? And ways that you could do that, one of the best ways that you can do that actually is by being part of his flock. If you read about the Good Shepherd, it talks about there is one flock and the Good Shepherd brings people in from other places into one flock that he is gathering to himself. And so being part of the flock, being part of the church, being gathered together with other people that are following Jesus is really helpful when it comes to following Jesus. If you're trying to follow Jesus on your own, that's a difficult thing to do. And so my challenge to you is maybe you're someone that's never been to church. And I want to encourage you this Christmas, come again. Come on Thursday to our carol service. Come next year on the 8th of January. Find another church in town. Come and be part of hearing who Jesus is and following Jesus with other people who are doing that. Maybe you're someone that's been part of church in the past, but actually you know you've got a bit disconnected and a bit separate from other people in the church family. Make that a priority this Christmas and going into the new year, that once again you will gather with people who are following Jesus so that you can follow him together. I feel like I've said enough, hopefully, to lift your eyes and to see that the shepherds of Christmas present remind us that Christmas is for all. It is for you. You are invited into this. The shepherd of Christmas past reminds us that God has always wanted to be with his people. God has always wanted to bring his glory and share his glory to his people. He showed a taste of it in David's time. Some of us have experienced part of what that is for ourselves, being part of church life in the past. But there is so much more that is promised. And what is promised is in the shepherd of Christmas future, the good shepherd, Jesus, who went to the cross for us and rose again victorious and calls us today to hear his voice and to follow him. Will you stand with me if you are able to? And I'm going to pray and then I'm going to hand back to the band to lead us in a song and help us to respond. Father God, I want to thank you for the shepherds that we see in the Christmas story. I want to thank you for the shepherds that show us that Christmas is for everyone. I want to thank you for David, the shepherd king, who shows the glory of what it was to walk closely with you, to be a man after God's heart, to lead a nation, to lead a people who knew you. But I thank you that there was more than that. And it's all wrapped up in the good shepherd, Jesus, you who came for us, the baby in the manger that went to the cross in our place to deal with the separation, to deal with the disconnection between us and God so that we could know him. We could be part of God's family again, restored relationship. Would you help us to fix our eyes this Christmas on you, Jesus, and not be distracted? Would you help us to open our ears to what you want to say to us this Christmas? Would you help us to follow you, Jesus, this Christmas? And you might want to just, in your own way this morning, say some words in your mind or out loud. You might just want to tell Jesus now that you are committing to take some steps out of what you've heard this morning. For some, it might be find out more. For some, it might be, yes, I'm going to start to follow again. And a particular way you're going to do that. But just let me leave a moment of quiet just for you to decide, what are you going to do as a result of what you've heard this morning? Lord God, would you help us? The different steps, the different things that people have in their minds right now, these are ways that I'm going to respond. Lord, would you help us in those responses? Would you help us to take those steps? Would you help us to keep you, Jesus, at the center of Christmas this year and as we head into 2023? We love you, Jesus. We commit to following you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.